down. And whoever the Jews in high, they bow down. So, and the rest of Klal Yisrael, nobody's objecting. So that's an indictment of everything, because no one's mocha. It's an ongoing phenomenon. But in terms of being invited as a guest to a mishnah, that's a personal, that's a personal nesayim, because it's a, emotionally the kavod and the fear of the melech is overpowering, and the person couldn't stand up to it, so he caved in. But you can only say that about the people that had the experience. See, it's a specific experience. So you can't condemn everybody because of a specific nisoya. But this is not a specific nisoya. It's a general thing. That wherever Klal Yisrael is, they're bound down to him. Wherever they encounter him, they're bound. No one's objecting. And no one's mocha. So they're all chayav. That's apparently something. That's the answer to your question. Good question. There's a different kind of nisyonos. There are certain nisyonos that are individual and situational. So you can't condemn the people that didn't have that particular nisyon. But certain nisyonos are of a different nature. It's a general nisyon, an ongoing general nisyon. If nobody says anything, then they're all guilty. They're all guilty. Good question. Yes?
What about Mordechai, who didn't partake? It doesn't help any because it was only like specific people.
You mean the fact that Mordechai didn't partake?
Well,
the Chanan
Mishal Vazari didn't go to the temple.
You mean how God judges Klal Yisrael because of that? I mean, that's a separate thing. And apparently when the Klal is over, I mean, you know, you have one Tzaddik.
But we can't say that it's the Klal. I mean, you don't say everyone else would have been like Mordechai. You can't say that because they really partake of the Klal.
Don't you see that matter?
What do you mean by
that? All the people who didn't see Haman.
All the people who didn't see Haman? Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If it's an ongoing thing, I mean, there's a lot to be learned from the Megillah in terms of Nihil. Unbelievable. But this is what you see. You see that if it's the minority. I mean, I don't. Apparently, Haman traveled around. I mean, but and over there was the capital. The Jews came, but you still can't say every Jew. Probably not even wrote. But it doesn't matter. Apparently, they know that this is so. No one's mocha. No one objects. So it means that they're all chayav. You don't have to have every Jew bad. But a suda is a different kind of a thing. It's a very particular emotional nesoya. So that you can't say what every Jew would do. No one agreed. They weren't happy about it. But the other Jews, but you can't say the other Jew would do it if they have that nesoya. It's a specific type of nesoya. But there's a general nesoya. A general nesoya is a different kind of thing. It's not the specific situation. That's really what Shimon Yochai's question was. That only those in Shushan, because they caved. Not that they didn't condone it. I mean, they caved in because of an emotion. It was wrong. I can't say everybody caved in. But over here, it's an ongoing thing. No one's saying anything. And even if every Jew doesn't do it, Yochai, you don't object, Yochai. That's really the main thing. A different situation, different kind of a situation, an ongoing situation where Klal Yisrael is involved in a Torah, and no one says anything. Everybody's chayav. That would appear from the Torah. Yeah.
So what's Marsha saying up to this point? Just to
clarify. Oh, 1 second. So the Marsha, what Marsha saying up to this point? So the Marsha saying. So why don't you use Haman? Why did Rashi have to say that when the Ishtachu with Haman? Why did they say it was Haman? It was Haman. I mean, Lashon Tzomer, but that's his question. So he says because it's mashma, right? He says because on the surface you could differentiate. You could say that Haman wasn't a god, and Bechanaim Shova Zaya that Tzelma was designated as an Avodah Zarah. So he says, that's what Marsha says. He's trying to answer why Rashi did this. So Marsha says, Uksas Kushal appears from Benatam, the Perik El Naris, the Benatam that I mentioned, El Naris is himself. That Ahod, the Ilmuli, no Dua Lachananya Mishava Zaya. So Taishu says the question over there, Taishu says that what do you mean if they would have tortured them? What about that? How could that be? It's a Vodazar. So Taishu says, the also tzelam lo hoya vodazar mamish, el hoya also lekvod hamelach. That's the same taisus himself that we just quoted. And from the Gemara is mashma klul that way. It says nasa kalvachama matzma. So, also the Gemara, "Va'afal pikein hoye bo kiddush Hashem, ulakach masur atzma."
He says there too.
He says what? And Cain, hochinami yeshlama hocha, sheshtachvu lahamon, va'afal pi shelohay mishtachvu lo rak mei kavod, hoye lohem limsur atzmon, limnei kiddushas Hashem. Ah, so you see what he's saying? So what he's saying is, says questions like this, that why didn't Rashi say it was Haman? So the answer is because Haman wasn't set up, wasn't designated as a guy. So as well as all. So it's the Barbeinatam says that Bechanayim Mishal Vazaya also wasn't designated as a Vazaya. And now the Gemara is saying that they were Chayef Kliya. Why? Because they all bowed down over there. So apparently you can deduce from there that you're chayev to be Mosa Nefesh, even if it's philosophical of Arzal. That's the Marsha's, in other words, Marsha is saying, according to the Rabbeinu Tam learns, now we have this Gemara that says the chayev kliya, so you have to say the chayev kliya even what? Without this Gemara, you could say, okay, they want to be Mekadosh and Shemayim. I'm a chayev to do it, but a person can do it. But the Mashiach says once you have this Gemara Megillah, it comes out you can't learn that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were big tzaddikim, and that's why they were Mosen Nefesh. You have a right to be Mosen Nefesh. Of course, you have a right to make Kaddish and Shemayim. Apparently, from this Gemara, there's a chiyuv that philosophical of Avodah Zarah, and that's what we're saying. I didn't see the Gemara, but I was just intuitive with that. But then that's what I was thinking: is it a chiyuv or it's a great mitzvah? You say, but this sugi really takes up the problem. So the Mashiach is right. The Mashiach's deduction is that according to Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, you have to say it's not simply that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were no Mosa Nefesh because they wanted Mekadosh and Shemayim, but every Jew is mechuyev to do that. Even philosophical of it. It's an interesting thing. I mean, it comes out halacha from the halacha from the Rabbeinu Tam and then the Gemara that a person is mechuyev. It's not optional. I mean, we learn the Gemara, they could say they will be tzaddikim. But when learning Gemara over here, Marsha's right. When learning Gemara over here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it comes out that it's a chiyuv, an absolute chiyuv. Interesting. Very interesting.
Why is the Gemara say that they made the kavuchomer?
That means everybody. Why the Gemara says that the Gemara is saying that everybody has to do that. Everybody has to do that. That you can't just say ideas of the Torah. In these same Mitzrayim, you're going to say they're nothing. I mean. You push them away and say, then that's not possible. The person has to be Basechel. He has to realize that that's called Tara Kula. And the Nisim and Tram were done to show and to demonstrate Maloch HaLoretz Kavadur, that every Bria is under Hashgachas Hashem. And to demonstrate that idea, so you have to realize that that's a Chiyur, that's a Machayev in Mesiras Nefesh. And that's what the Marshal is saying, that from this Gemara, it's Mochav that way. It's Mochav that way.
Yeah, but didn't that yes. Tosfos quote a pasuk? So there was two things. There was the
yeah. Well, that was just a riot. Leloch lopolchin and ulatzam lamasagne.
So you can't say the tzam is referring to the real.
That's what he's saying.
You can't say that.
You cannot say that. That's what he's saying. That the tzam was something other than the real avodah zarah.
And the Jews didn't bow down. Even the rest of the Jews didn't bow down to that.
To the real avodah zarah.
Right.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because the Gemara said ulatzam. Right. The Gemara says over here, the Gemara Megillah says that why were they Chayef Kliya? Yes, apparently that they didn't do. But to the Tzelem they did. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it was simply philosophical of Avodah Zarah. So the Mashiach says you can deduce from this Gemara that every person is Mechayef Kliya. It's halacha. I mean, it's halacha is Dharma halacha, right from the Gemara. It's an important halacha. I mean, Chas v'shal, long day nisayim. But you have no halacha. That's the halacha that a person is mechuyev, Mosa Nefesh, even for philosophical avodah zarah. Amazing halacha. So he says, but now he has a question. So he says, if that's the case, he says, now our answer by Mordechai and Klal Yisrael is not going to work. Why? Because
Haman just as well.
Because now the same shah is going to be by Haman. Why? Because you can't say that Mordechai was a great tzaddik and he was Mosa Nefesh. But Klal Yisrael, they were mechuyev. Because now you see that everybody's chayev. So once you see that everybody's chayev, so now what's the answer? So why didn't Rashi say that the chait was that they were mishnachav to the mishnachav to Haman? Okay. Yeah. So the Mashal just remains with Gashmir. Okay, it remains with Gashmir. That's his question. That's his question. Okay, so it goes up. You take a Mashal. But I wanted to answer the Mashal's question. Because I want to answer Mashal's question. Why? Because there's an interesting Gemara. We said that the Mara of Mordechai is that he was able to see that this is Avodah Zarah. And there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that what was his name? It says Ish Yehudi Shmo Mordechai Ben Yoyer Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ishimi. So the Gemara does know. Shimi came from Shimi Ben Gera and Ben Yoyer. The Gemara gives different brushes. But Ish Yehudi, the Gemara says, how could you call him Ish Yehudi, which means from Shevet Yehuda, when he was really from Shevet Binyamin? So the Gemara says, gives different answers. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Namal, Ra'olam, mi Binyamin Kos. Really, he came from Binyamin. Am I calling him Yehudi? What do you call him Yehudi? Al Shim Shekofra Bavoda Zor. Shekola Kofra Bavoda Zor and Nikri Yehudi. Kirchsiv, by Daniel over there. Iti Guvrin Yudoyin. Forget the Lashon and the rest of the Puffy. It says Iti Guvrin Yudoyin, that they don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. You have a pasuk in the middle of there, sir?
Rashi
finishes off. I'm sorry. What did I say? Iti.
Second one.
They say for the Quran. Lo loch lo fochen. That pasuk, yeah. So you see that the definition of a Jew is that he's kofar by Avodah Zarah. So that's why they're called Mordechai Yeshua. That's what the Gemara is saying, right?
It comes from the Lashon of Hodah, no?
So what?
Yehuda comes from the Lashon of Hodah. Like we know that or something.
Yes, so therefore?
That's fine, learning the Lashon of Hodah is on being kofar. Like the word, like Yehuda literally means like, you know, Odes Hashem, Rapam Hazeh, Odes Hashem.
Yeah, right, correct.
So it's fine, they're taking the word Yehuda, they're saying to learn us to being kofar and something.
I mean, why comes from, why the word Yehuda comes from that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Pamod is Hashem.
Right.
That's why. So it means that's what Gemara says. That that's totally Zebozeh. Kolamod Vakarish Baruch Hu is Kavlo Vazor and vice versa. So, yeah. But anyways, that's the Gemara says. Shekola Kof Babar Zor Nikri Yud. So, of course, there's a good question you could ask. He is the only, I mean, you're saying is Yehudi. So you're singling him out from the rest of Kol Yisroel. So what are you saying? He's the only one that's kofar b'avodah zarah? And what kind of identification is that? The only Jew? I mean, identifying Ish Yehudi. He is a Yehudi. What do you mean? What's different between him and hundreds of thousands of other Jews that are kofar b'avodah zarah? So what's the answer? The answer is what?
Prepare
him
also, but the philosophy that he was able to see that he was making himself into
Bavar Zarah. Apparently, there's a different levels of Kofa Bavar Zarah. So Ish Yehudi means he was the real Kofa Bavar Zarah. Different levels, and because he was on that level, he understood that Haman is a Bavar Zarah. But that takes tremendous chachma. Not everybody could pass in that challenge. So Mordechai was the one, like what Chazal said about Avraham Avinu, had 400 mesechtas on Avodah Zarah. What it means, he understood every single nuance of Avodah Zarah. And that's the real kofar of Avodah Zarah. Yeah, everybody's kofar of Avodah Zarah, all Jews kofar of Avodah Zarah, but there's different levels of being a kofar of Avodah Zarah. Mordechai was the one that was the real kofar of Avodah Zarah. And that's why he was able to recognize immediately in Haman that this is Avodah Zarah. So that would answer the Mashal's question. asked. The Maharsha's question is, why didn't Rashi say that the chayev koya, or the Maharsha say, because they were mishtachva to homan? So the answer is, for that they weren't chayev koya, because that takes an unusual level. You say the melech gave him covered. So how do you know that? Where did you draw the line? You have to be a big chacham to know that. So Mordechai was the real kofel order. He knew how to defy it. So for that they weren't chayav. But for the tzelon, that everybody could recognize that when the king made this tzelon is already not the, he's making himself into something that is not ordinary. He's already, it might not be halachically a Avodah Zarah, but he's setting himself up as a Avodah Zarah. That didn't take unusual chachma. So with that, you can answer the Maharsha's question. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Yes?
It wasn't mean to say he set himself up as an Avodah Zarah. I mean, people think he was Hadiri, and it wasn't mean to say...
No, it doesn't mean that. It means you have, unfortunately, you have the most glaring example in Hitler, in Machshama. That means to say that a man sets himself up, he's a total megalomaniac, a sick-minded individual, and he sets himself up as a Avodah Zarah, and you see that people follow him. The way they follow him, that's a Avodah Zarah. They go to their death. Every whim he has becomes something that they worship. You see, and it's a psychological process. Psychological process. You look at the Germans. They say they're insane. I mean, they're supposed to be intelligent people. They're going to their death, and they went willingly. Why? For who? For what? It was stupid. It was ridiculous. The answer is that's a lot of them. That's it. They went for him. They went for him. So it's an amazing phenomenon, but it exists. It existed by Hitler Machshama, and it exists, for instance, in the Mafia. They have the same idea. The idea of the Godfather. That's the whole concept. The concept is that he is a God. So they don't believe in God because they do Ritzicha and Shvichas Damim, I mean, and Gezel and everything. But they don't believe in any kind of Olam Haba. But they're Mosa Nefesh for him. That's what it is. It sounds crazy. And it is crazy, but you see that man is capable of such an allegiance and to be in such a worshipful state that's mamash avodah zarah, and that's what Mordechai saw. So how do you know? It doesn't need a pronouncement. It's there, and Mordechai recognized it. I mean, no doubt he watched him in his rise to power. And it wasn't a one-day thing, but he saw now it reached the level of he's making himself into a Avodah Zarah. But it's an interesting thing. But the mind of a human being is very strange. Very strange, and it's as crazy and as illogical as it sounds. You'll see the most intelligent people be subject to this insanity. They will give their lives up, willingly give up their lives. For an insane Meshuggah. I mean, that's the way, that's the nature of man. That's the terrorist battle. But at the same time, it shows you the power of those kind of emotions. It shows you the power.
What about
falling in love?
What?
What about
if you guys falls in love?
Is that what's
up? I don't know. But you seem
you can't compare all forms of insanity.
You're idealizing the person.
That's a different kind of thing. That's a different kind of thing. That's not a Avodah Zarah. It stems from a different source. That's a libidinous libidinous thing.
This source, and it obviously deals with the primitive part of the infantile.
Well, I mean, it's a good question. That's a good question for psychology.
Going on the psychology.
The Torah guides us. Torah doesn't consider that. That's Cholas Abba. Call us up. as I was saying, it's a chuli. I mean, there's no question about it. The only time that disease is good if it's avas Hashem. But it's defined as a chuli.
Going back to this course, Rabbi, just in the infantile mind, wherein is the source of this capacity to find to another human being and have this kind of devotion? A mother, where is the source? Simply rivals you can understand it's a zero, you know.
Where is the source?
Yeah, where is the
source? You want to talk about it in psychological terms?
Yeah.
The superego. That's what it says. In other words, he becomes the superego. So everything he says is absolutely uncontestable and right and virtuous.
Projects a super.
That's why you could say do murder and the people commit murder. So he takes over the whole superego, and that's it. So in Yahadus demands that never happened to you.
That's psychological.
Person never allowed that to happen.
That psychological disease is about as well.
That's what I said. That's why.
Even though it's just psychological.
Just psychological, or is it just?
No, I'm just saying it's normal psychological. Right.
Normal doesn't mean. They say now that more than 50% of the people are. Have some kind of neuroses. But that doesn't mean that if you don't have neurosis, you're not normal. The word normal doesn't have any definition.
Normal doesn't matter.
And it's true that it's a powerful, very powerful psychological force, but the Torah has identified that force as the greatest evil in man. That's the worst. So that Vodazor is the worst. The worst. Arias is bad because the person's whole self worth is just lost in taiva, so he looks like an animal. But that is as much as that's bad. I mean, he's a wasted existence. But Vodazor is worse. Vodazor is worse. That is the ultimate thing. I mean, that's what the whole Torah pointed out. This phenomenon. This is the most harmful type of event, a mental event that can happen to an individual, to fall under the sway of that force. It's an amazing thing, and it leads to total human destruction. Once the person loses their free will, and they suspend it, and they give it over to somebody else, that's it. That's what the Chaim Volozhiner writes, that a person can have a relationship to a navi. That would be a lot of fault. Incorrect relation. Incorrect. So it's not the Navi's fault, but the concept of Avodah Zarah, the idea of Avodah Zarah, is what the Torah recognizes as the most dangerous aspect of human existence. It's the greatest philosophical idea that was ever received by man. I mean, that's the essence of Kol HaTorah Kulo. The essence of the Nazis, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, the ones they fell into the trap that led to their own destruction. And of course, unfortunately for us also. I mean, but the Obed Avodah Zarah goes to his own death. He goes to his own death willingly. It's an amazing thing. I mean, when we look at the history of the Second World War and the intelligent people. Gave their life a person that has some fantasy of some kind of Olam Haba. Okay, so you say, but here they knew it's not just for this individual. That's the essence of what it was. An amazing phenomenon. But
Japanese did it too.
In other words, there isn't even an illusion that they're going to survive their death.
Right. Mean,
illusion, okay, it's a person, but the, you see, it's possible for a person to do that. It's an amazing thing.
There's Yemenian extreme nationalism.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, same thing.
So Mordechai
somebody takes over the entire superego, the entire conscience, and then whatever that person says is unquestionable and is right, and they feel it's right, no matter how evil it is. There isn't a qualm of conscience.
think they have a fee of, to die by the Yibuch HaMetzer. Like, there's no real, like, halachic...
That's what I'm trying to explain all that. Because it doesn't matter if it's halachic. The whole purpose of that, what?
How could it be a fee? It's just like a full
sacrifice. It's a chiyuv, because... No. It's not true, because the whole purpose of all the mitzvahs is for certain ideas. The mitzvah isn't an end in itself. The mitzvah is for perfection. So if a person will do all the mitzvahs and then not be perfected, it's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. I did all the mitzvahs, has no value whatsoever. Has no value. So the mitzvahs aren't magic. And so people always look at the Torah and try to make a simplistic system out of it. But you can't, because it's too profound. It doesn't lend itself to that. Mitzvahs are absolutely inviolable. But it doesn't mean to say that that's not the end of understanding Torah. I mean, you can't violate a mitzvah, and it's a terrible thing a person does. But as much as that's true, that's still not kol haTorah kula. The purpose of mitzvahs is a certain goal. And the goal of all the hilchos of Avodah Zarah is to eradicate a certain state of human existence. And if that state will come into existence and you'll allow it, then you're going against the kol haTorah kula.
Like, as long as there's any idea of Avodah Zarah attached to this action, so now you're fired to...
I can't go there, but what do you mean, does that mean? That's not a question. It means if you have a situation with this philosophical Avodah Zarah, and then you're Mechayev Maaseh Nefesh.
Even if they believe in it. They said
that's correct. Of course they didn't believe in it. And that's Chaim Shazar believes in it. It doesn't matter. Yes, sir.
So how come there's like a lower level? That like the regular mitzvah of Avodah Zarah everyone has to do? How come it's not just if you feel like you're on that level, you should do it? So you want to be? Should we want to be in this level also?
No, because certain things the Torah can't legislate.
I mean, so how can we legislate in the lower state though?
The Torah,
a regular Jew bow to an idol. Because
there has to be a system.
There has to be a system of law. And just do what is law, just let people decide for themselves.
No, not on this answer. Yarav Yavor, just say if you feel you're on that level, you should die. So if you don't really see it, why would you force people to walk?
No, in Chalak, you wouldn't expect them to notice this fact, but huh? Chalak, you wouldn't know it's philosophical, we expect them to see it. That's obvious. It's already so clear that there's no question that emotion
was out. That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Meaning, if Haman, if they could see it, they would be chayim, just they didn't see it. So the Torah, so the Kashrut can't be chayim, you don't see it, and that's
right. It's not their fault, not on level. That's Yehudi. There's one real kofar b'Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael. That was mortified. That's Yehudi. That's the Gemara. I'm showing the Gemara. So yeah.
I
can't go back over all the Shiurim I gave you. I can't do that. If you have a question, ask a question.
In other words, the first, they were irredeemable because once you're steeped in the instinctual side of being, you can't reach, it's actually so far in state.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, so here a person's closer, he says, not far away from perfection, yet he's worse. So generally you think a person's worse off the further he is from perfection. The person who is not as far away from perfection, he's subject to correction, but you're saying he is the worst of all beings. Because he's still closer to correction because he's involved in Avodah Zarah like the Darf Luga, but yet you're saying he's worse off in terms of perfection. And I mean, to make my question clear?
No, I understand.
The further you are from perfection, isn't that the worst of existence you are? The further you are away from perfection, the worse your existence is.
That's correct, and this is the furthest away.
Yeah, but yet he's subject to coming to correct ideas where a person is steeping of horizon.
It has nothing to do with what he's subject to. The fact is, right now, what is it? Right now, he's the worst form of human existence. That's it. Well, he could be. What could be? He could be. It doesn't matter. That's not going to help. I mean, he's more intelligent. I mean, what? Haman was very intelligent. He's capable of being a big tzaddik. There's no question about it. So what? Is that a source for him? No, absolutely not. On the contrary, it's against him.
Is not so destroyed that at least it's subject to correction. It's not as mad.
No, that's not necessarily true. That premise is not necessarily true.
Why is that?
Because it just isn't true. Because the fact that a person is what he's subject to under various conditions is not an indication of the evil of the individual. The evil is determined by what he is. What he's subject to? Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, that's a crazy argument. Yes,
that's right. So you said that I think when a person like becomes like your whole conscience, that's like the will desire.
Yeah.
So like, if is it? Are you saying like it has to reach that level to be?
It means a total suspension of his critical faculty. It's a total suspension of his critical faculty. And the critical faculty has been given over to this person. And now he's completely under whatever this individual says. And in Arias, that's not necessarily the case. It's taiva, it means it's a worthless existence. There was a person that spent 70 years in Arias. So with the fact that he lived as a human being, it's worthless. But that's evil, that's bad. But this is the evil, the worst evil. Okay, there wasn't a suspension of that doesn't involve a complete loss of the individual. It's a very bad choice. Yes.
So, but that can happen like the mix. So it doesn't have to be complete.
Well, by Vodazara?
Yeah.
No, that's you're right. The different shades of it. There certainly is different levels. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Kofar by Vodazara. That's what I'm saying. It's correct. But halachically, there's a line. Halachically, right. There's a line where in other words, the halachic system is built in a way that there is a line there, and the line is that which. Is that which can take place without the halachic structure, but you can cross over that line. But there's no question that the halachic structure is created to draw a line somewhere. But if a person keeps halacha, I mean, so it means you can't. Not everybody can be a Mordechai. I mean, Mordechai is a galador. I mean, his door. So Navi. So I mean, but nevertheless, an ordinary Jew that follows the halachic structure is safe. Right. Safe. But he can go beyond the bounds. Beyond the bounds. But, beyond the bounds is in trouble.
So a person like to be completely okay with the zav from himself. So yeah. He should try to remove all external people from becoming that thing on
that. No. You can't get there. No, no simple form. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a separate parasha. I mean, you ask me how does a person become mortal?
I'm asking you how. I'm asking is that is the goal to have completely remove other people?
I would say yes, that the ultimate, and that's Avraham Avinu. So I for fun of a son, and he's complete showing there isn't one ounce of superstition, not one ounce of any kind of tendency or trend of Avodah Zarah. That's what I mean. It's completely removed. That's a high level. It's not an easy thing. I mean, not easy thing to do. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Just because we're not on that level doesn't mean we don't recognize the level. That would be ridiculous. That's just the crazy ego thing. Yeah.
It says that they asked Mordechai why did he bow down, that he didn't follow the commandment, and it doesn't give a response.
That's right.
He doesn't say anything. I was wondering, maybe that's because because on his level he felt they wouldn't be able
couldn't
to
explain.
See. They wouldn't be able to see.
But that wasn't the Jews.
Avdei Amelach.
Yeah. I mean, apparently, you see, the fact that they asked a question is a raya that they, if it was real Avodah Zarah, they wouldn't ask that question. They would know, like by Nebuchadnezzar, Lo'loch lo'pochen, and Letzalmach lo'sgid. So apparently, I mean, from the Megillah, it's muchach, that it was a strange kind of thing, like, why don't you do this? So, why don't you do this? But I guess he realized that the Avdei HaMelech, he can't explain it to them. Yes?
He definitely couldn't answer them. They were partaking of that.
That's correct.
They were involved in it. How could they ever see it if they were... I mean, they would have been able to separate themselves. They're chisaron in them.
They sold the pen also.
Yeah. Okay, so that answer the question? Any other questions? Yeah.
Two things. First of all, what about the... How can the philosophical Vodazara overcome the halachic chadam?
That's the thing. It does. That's the thing. That's the thing. Where the essence... Just look at the thing. You have to look at the logic. That where the essence of the system... The whole purpose of the system is at stake. That's it. There's no question of halacha. What do we say that how do you break halacha? Because that's the idea, is because it's illogical and irrational if the whole purpose of Kol HaTorah Kulo is going to be lost to say v'chaybem. I mean, that's not, there's no v'chaybem on such a thing. There's no b'hem. There's no that's it. There's no v'chay. The whole thing is it doesn't exist. You can't, you're getting caught up on the technical, on the idea that the that the technical is more than it's objective. That's crazy. That's nonsense.
So a guy is foolish enough to give up his lifetime on any of those that he recognizes.
That's correct.
It's the recognition of it that's really clearly viewing it.
If the person, yeah, well, because he recognizes it and sees that this is the
issue. It seems like the rest of the Israel weren't really high of it. They weren't faulted for it. For not recognizing the whole thing. It was only.
That's right. You're right. You're right. And I thought it was not on the level. Not on the level.
It doesn't help enough.
Once you recognize it, then you're
moving. That's right. That's correct. You want to? Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean it's bad to recognize it. I mean, that's true. That's the machayev. The machayev is he sees what this is. He sees that this is the destruction of man. So we recognize this is the destruction of man. So then he has the most enough. That's clear.
So with the Muhnetzer, what was the problem? Because they have to point, they're Mechuyev to point out the Muhnetzer, what was it like? That they didn't recognize it?
No, that they didn't.
When they showed up, they recognized it and put it up.
They ignored it.
They said they didn't believe it was the Muhnetzer.
They didn't believe it.
They didn't believe in him being the Muhnetzer. Because he's doing that,
that's
they
right.
Have a Chiyuv to show him.
They have a Chiyuv not to allow that to take place. That's correct.
Even though it's in someone else. It's not
even
though
I don't
believe it. Every
time in a photo, a person doesn't believe it. It's not still Chayav Masa.
It's because of the Kiddush Hashem.
That's good Kiddush Hashem.
Wasn't Tosfos promised that it wasn't like a Chakat Mechayav?
That's what he says. We got halachically, they weren't Mechayav. There's no halacha like that. But philosophically, that is the objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. The whole objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo is being lost. It's not possible. If you're most in nefesh for halacha, you're definitely most nefesh over here.
Could a person halachically make himself a devoted zar and just didn't reach that stage?
Halachically make himself a devoted zar?
Is that like an impossible halachic thing to have, that a person actually gets a halachic dinner?
Can't be a
devoted
zar.
Or just didn't reach that stage where I'm on. It's not halachically. It's not.
You wouldn't be able to.
You couldn't be able to smell.
Rashi, it's interesting, he asked the question in Rashi, because Rashi says, well,
you're not
Avodah Zorah,
you're people.
What about follow? Something like that. Follow also.
You see the guy in the
right. Everybody likely was follow the Avodah Zorah.
The Pharaohs maintained their gods, no?
Right. Yeah, they maintained they were God men. Men God, whatever. That's true. But I'm telling you that the idea of the Torah, of what Avodah Zarah is even to this day, is not known. That's an amazing thing. That's amazing. It's an unbelievable thing. I mean, you see the Germans. They have no concept. Absolutely no concept. And they gave their lives. Crazy people. You see, the idea of Avodah Zarah, of the Torah, is a very deep concept. And modern man has not yet been able to grasp what it is, to understand this idea. That's an amazing thing. They're not even near it.
Not even near it.
You see from their religion. I mean, you see that crazy, insanity, stupidity, nonsense. But you see that man, for some reason, cannot get this idea straight. It's an amazing thing. With all the modern technology and all the advances, this idea, the man is the same primitive state as they were in Egypt. As Mitzrayim. Same thing. Haven't had an advanced one iota. It's an unbelievable thing. And to their own detriment, to the loss of their own lives. It's an unbelievable thing. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. You think the instinct of self-preservation would kick in some ways. But it doesn't. It's an unbelievable thing. I mean, that's what Tara's saying. Unless you grasp this idea, then your life is worthless. It's an unbelievable thing.
See, they get their whole life really is for this thing.
Yeah, whole life necessary.
What about the Yosef, his brother that they bowed to Yosef? They didn't willing to play that he had that even because he was second to Paro? Because he was second to Paro?
Yeah, you're allowed to bow down to the person. That was the most question. That's the most question. Ace of Yaakov.
No, Ace of Yaakov was the name of God, but in Egypt like that, there was that. That they did do that. So the Athios, just because it was second in command, they didn't have that, were we?
You mean by power, you mean?
They didn't really bow down to power, they bowed down to Yosef.
What did it say by Yaakov and power?
Don't
That's a good question. What does it say by Yaakov? What does it say?
Yeah, it doesn't have
But it doesn't appear to be us. Cover them off. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, you have to know. This is something you have to know how to judge this thing. It's not so simple because there is a certain kind of a certain kind of megalomania in all these leaders. I mean, but there is a point. I mean, where it's absolute of ours. What that point is. I would say that it has to do with what we said before. Where the person's will is lost. Where the individual suspends all judgment, and all judgment is assigned to another human being. And there's a total suspension of judgment. That's clearly about it.
We're not talking about the subject, we're talking about the person as in terms of what he represents. Meaning, because even by Nebuchadnezzar, when they're bowing, even the Jews, they're not bowing b'Torah that they're completely having him as their superego, but the fact that he represented that to other people, that he was an Avodah Zar.
As Machayev you.
Right, so now
that's
we're dealing
right,
about the,
that's the
we're
same
dealing
thing
about
by
the object that they're bowing to. Right, I understand, so we're dealing with the object that they're bowing to, not what he represents to you. So now...
No, but I'm saying the phenomenon of an individual setting himself up as an Avodah Zarah is a phenomenon where he controls he is demanding to control the will of the people, and the people are assenting.
So by Paro, it could have just been that it was just that he
and
considered
it has
himself.
To do also. It also of course has to do that they ascribe some type of divinity to him, some type of supernatural power that they ascribe to him. I mean, there's no question about it.
So a person considering themselves a deity, but if it's not in this type of character, then it may not be considered about his arm. I think Paro was a psycho. He thought he had divine powers, but he didn't have it in the sense where he tried to really remove all intellectual capacity of people and dictate what's right or wrong.
That's
to them. And that might not have been the halachic of Avodah Zarah.
It's not exactly.
Maybe not.
Say even though the Tamich considered himself godly, but that's just stupidity.
That's correct.
And also, he might not. It doesn't. Maybe it has to go based on if he's successful in getting the people to do it.
Like, yeah, it depends. It seems he wasn't the only power there. They had the priests.
Oh,
I see, like by Hitler, Machshma. You see clearly what it was. I mean, it's very sad, but the fact is, you have right in front of your eyes the object of.
Tilly also has a desire for the motherland and like Germany. Yeah. Like he also
Germany
is
the fatherland.
The fatherland?
The fatherland.
Yeah. So he also brought that concept into, he didn't just make himself. He also, for some reason, used.
Nationalism has to be the mass.
I know. These letters. But I mean, that's a separate thing. I mean, it's a separate, separate discussion. I just wanted to.
What was the more
the underlying idea? The underlying idea from Chazal. I mean, that's. That's the concept. That's called
the what? There was two violations. One that they didn't recognize that Haman set himself up as an Avodah Zarah, and two that even if they recognized it, they didn't act on it.
That's correct. They
which
went along. They helped them. They helped them establish.
Which one is Chayv and Kli?
Oh, but by the way, by Nebuchadnezzar,
they didn't recognize it.
By Haman, they didn't recognize it.
By Nebuchadnezzar,
they did recognize it. But that's right. But that is. You ask why? Your question is: if the person realizes, so what's the danger? No. But the idea is that participation in that is ipso facto participation in establishing a bazaar. Because that's what you're doing. You are helping to establish this mitzias, this phenomenon of a bazaar. That's the issue. You can't do that. And you understand that it feeds on itself. I mean, if nobody would listen to Talmud, I mean, he couldn't do it. I mean, it's a phenomenon. It's a social phenomenon. And that is the issue. That's the very issue. Okay?
Rabbi?
Yes.
How about not somebody of power, but somebody of, usually you see it in the entertainment world, that people look up to as an idol or a god?
That's a difference.
You have to make your subordinate Yimachira to that person.
If you listen to some of these people, some of them.
So that's the phenomenon of Avodah Zarah. So in terms of an individual, it's not a.
It's really
a mass phenomenon. There are people that have different ones. There's a Chaim Volozhin says that a person can have that same attitude to a Navi. Navi Hashem and be Avodah Zarah. That's correct. That's what Frank Russian was doing, was writing against the scene. That's what he's trying to say. That's pretty true. That's what he was saying. That's what he's saying, basically. Yeah. That's why I wrote that.
I just had somebody in my car, and she said that she was thinking about being able to come to Lubavitch. And she said it'd be an easy life because you don't have to make any decisions.
That's great. That's how it works. That's one bit.
That's the classic problem.
One bad one.
But we wouldn't have to work like in these things, since it's not like a mass thing.
I mean, that's why it's a suspension of dots.
Like for the fans and all that. Since it's not like a mass thing of the fierce on this person anymore, don't have to.
Would
you be allowed to do something? Show some cover though or not? Like, would you be allowed to be a fan and a non for the Sagat Tech? With not those existence of fans?
I mean, is a person allowed to be a fan? That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, the institution of fanism. Is that a...
It's not an addict.
Music also, you have groupies, you have people who just...
You could be a fan.
You're following individuals.
I would say that being a fan is al tifnu al olam.
If the person's
al tifnu al olam. Because that's what you're doing. Means you are making, this person has no real value, because the person is basically a fool. So, what is the person good at? The person has an art that is, their art is that they're good at imitation, because that's what they do. They represent someone other than themselves. So that means that they're the greatest liars, and they're the greatest pretense. So that art itself is really a bad art in itself, because anyone that does that, you usually say they're a liar, and it's a bad bad trait. Now this bad trait over here, becoming the great, making this person as a bad trait, being a great individual. So I'm not saying that, I'm just saying the whole thing has no logical basis. So you're taking something and you're setting it up yourself. Because a person has the appearance, when they're pretending to be somebody else, they have a certain appearance, so that's why you're ascribing some type of greatness to that individual. That's crazy. So that's al tifnu al ulum. I'd say that's a fan is al tifnu al ulum.
But then something like sports and music would not have that problem since they're not values.
That's correct.
What's the value?
That's right.
Also,
but they don't get value.
So the value that you're.
No value. It's like somebody told me, they said that they were in the apartment of an actor. And they felt very connected. Why? Because they liked a movie that this actor played. So I said, I don't understand, but you weren't in the apartment of the character. So what's the connection? So the thing is, it's an insane twist. It's an insane twist. This guy has nothing to do with the character. He's pretending to be the character. After he walks up, he must be crazy. He doesn't think he's the character anymore. So
the whole way, it's, I'm it's on a high level, and that guy, I had that connection to the writer.
Yeah, but that's al tifnu al ulum. That's endorsing and embracing shtus v'hevel. I mean, that's what it is, really. It's stupid. I mean, if you like a particular... That doesn't mean you can't like particular music. I mean, you can enjoy it, but to take the person and raise this person and ascribe qualities to the person that have nothing to do with what they're doing is insanity. The same thing is true even with a great musician. I mean, like, even in sophisticated music. Well, what does that have to do with the person's a chacham? What does that have to do with chachma? Doesn't that mean they wasted their life? I mean, why should this person be recognized for anything other than what their art is? Okay, so a person is good at the art of imitation. You say, okay, you recognize that's his art. He's good at imitation. But can't make him into something beyond that, or to ascribe to him some attributes that the character that he imitates has. I mean, that's nonsense. So there's a shtus. That's al tifnu al ulum. That's what I said. That is it. Avodah Zarah? It's on the way. It's al tifnu al ulum. Torah has a long system of progression. Looking up to a businessman?
Yeah.
Well, it depends what you look up to him for. His business knowledge?
Yeah.
And that you should respect him for. He has that knowledge. But his ideas on life, on Derek Ryan, I wouldn't understand for that. But the problem is that people make that transference. I mean, that's an insane transference. The person does that, he's just it's verbal. Doesn't mean look, the person that has a certain talent and art, yes, they have that talent, but you have to also consider whether the talent is worthwhile. Like that's a worthwhile talent. Just because it's entertaining doesn't mean it's worthwhile. Yes.
I mean, if you said I'm Einstein, like, even though he was a big chacham in physics, but a lot of people then took him also for like morals and stuff. Even so, even if it's valuable, like it is chachma, in other areas it's not necessarily worth.
You don't take anybody outside his area unless he shows chachma outside of his area. The area he shows chachma, you recognize. In the area he doesn't show any chachma, there's no recognition. The fact that he has chachma in one area does not mean in any way he has chachma in another area. I mean, you see, Galileo was the greatest physicist. I mean, he had beautiful ideas in physics. When he came to the church, he accepted the shtus. He accepted the stupidity. Didn't bother him at all.
In America, they do it worse. The guy shows no chachma, he's an actor, and they want to hear the political opinion, so he has chachma there.
Maybe he can make himself one of the characters that he plays and give a good answer.
He played the president, so he must know a lot of
it. That's like worse than the act, like believing the illusion. It's insane. But that's the way people are. I mean, like I said, most people have not advanced too far. And unless when it comes to Derech Chaim, unless a person studies life, his natural inclinations, which he always counts on, will always lead him astray. That's for sure. That's what Rambam says. A person is not born perfected, and he's not born a copy. So if in any area it requires work, And this area, more than any other area, requires a person's thinking and analysis and understanding. If he doesn't do it, he's not going to get near it. No chance. So, I mean, that's a principle of the others. But again, I mean, it's a principle which eludes the entire world. As simple as it sounds, no regrets.
The Mago Haman and Mago Mordechai are both the same thing.
That's correct.
Meaning Haman became this god figure and then and destroyed himself in the process. And Mordechai recognized that's why it's
the
stop.
That's correct. It's the same thing. It's two sides of the coin. That's right.
As far as Tokacha, it seems that if it's not a halachic of Odezara,
it's very good shot. Say it again.
That they're the opposite sides of the same thing.
The opposite sides of the same thing.
That the thing that caused Haman was the thing that Mordechai saw.
The thing that caused Haman is the thing that Mordechai saw. That's correct. That is right.
Mordechai saw implications for Jews, even though Haman didn't act yet.
See, that would be a good shot, and that would be a good shot in Adol Yada. That would be a very good shot. That's a very good shot. And Adol Yada, right? Because they're two sides of the same coin. So when he's Mishtaker, he doesn't recognize he loses his, he loses balance. You know what I mean? That's very good. Very good job. Okay. Explain it. Yeah.
Giving tochacha to people, it seems that if it's not a halachic iser or a zoro, that like Mordechai here, it seems like he kept quiet for the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the person that should...
That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, it doesn't seem, from the Megillah at least, that he went around pronouncing... It's a good question. What is that?
The question is, can Anya Michel the Zoya, they go tell people? That's the question.
That's a good point. Why didn't he go around the whole Malchus saying that this is a Avodah Zarah?
Were the others
able to learn the
Bible? How do
you know he just doesn't record how much he said?
Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Maybe because for them, they don't understand the Yisr. So they're not on the level. So they're not mechuyev. Tochacha is something you have to be able to, like Gemara says. So I mean that might be in the category of davar shelo nishma, because they don't perceive it, they won't accept it,
but
they won't
perceive it.
But not by Hanani Mishal
Bazar. No, over there. No, that's correct. Okay. That's correct. Yeah, that's for sure. That you see, because they're high players, so
right.
You got to do something.
Did they give some good
on? Apparently they did. I mean, there's a certain limitation one person has. Yeah, everybody's against you. It's not so you can't just do it. Nayak also tried it that way, yeah?
Excuse me, basically you're saying that even if you don't believe in this thing, that ipso facto, the Maisa, what you're doing, that's the issue, that you could therefore answer away by Yaakov, Yidu, and Paro, because by there, before Torah came and defined bowing as a voda that's confined, obviously, to God, it was a generic expression, so there it was simply affection and other phenomena, but it wasn't necessarily that act was necessarily an avoda of the deity.
but they build a philosophical implication.
There was no implication there, because bowing didn't mean that. It could be affection. The Torah came and made that an avoda.
No, they bowed down to the Torah.
They bowed down to the Torah before the Torah.
It isn't the halakha of the Torah, it's the halakha of the Torah. It doesn't matter what the halakha of the Torah is.
No, but there, by Yaakov Abba, there's no halakha of the Torah either. Yaakov is, that is not...
Why? Because of bowing, not because of bowing. Bowing was a ma'isa of the Torah, then all of them said,
no, look, it's not necessarily a shepherd and a vote is over there either, because they don't believe in the powers of God, then it's not.
That's the problem.
They're just giving cover to a king, right? But there, the bowing per se is not a problem, because Torah has not defined that as an avoda.
Yeah, but even after you tell the bowing per se is not a problem, it's only bowing of kavod, that's okay.
What's that?
The bowing of kavod, even after you tell, is okay.
No, but bowing per se, ipso facto, is now bowing.
No.
The rise of your bound cover is not right. Even after,
so depends on your mindset.
Yes. Just in terms of your Tokyo thing, you could see. I mean, it doesn't mean. It seems to me that this is a more primary thing, because
I wasn't giving talk to you guys.
No, that's a good question. This seems to be a more primary way, because he's. His actions really teaching the idea. So yeah. What's more talk about than like now you need to go.
That's a good point. I was thinking that's a good point. The fact that that's a good point. That the fact that Mordechai lo yichro leishtachava, that was the limud. In other words, if a person picked up on that, then they would know. So that was the biggest talk. That's correct. He's most in effect. That's the biggest talk. That's a good point. Very good point. Excellent. Yeah. Now, what is the so we took care of what? How many people? Haman and Mordechai goes to who?
And the Nes itself,
we didn't go, right?
What about Achashverosh?
Achashverosh. We do Achashverosh and do Nes.
And we didn't explain what each step is at.
What? Say it again.
What each step is at.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Achashverosh says, "Ma ro Achashverosh and shamash bekelim shel beis hamikdash al kocha, mishum lechoshev shivin shnin v'lo ifrik." Okay, so he figured out 7 years, and they weren't redeemed, and there was an imbuilding of the base of Mikdash. That's what the Gemara said before. The Gemara said before, Get off from the base. The Gemara says that, and so he didn't know to count from Karvach Shlayim. So it says that, Omar, so it says, given the chaz of the mole shivin v'lo ifrik, Omar, hashtavaras lo mifriki, hapik moni de bay migdisho v'shtamish bo, bosat and v'rike b'neha. Okay, v'horeg es vashti. Yes, so the Gemara seems to make a connection between those two things. It seems to be two different things. I mean, what does the Sutton got to do with the Yehargis Vashti? Got to do with the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. Right? Gemara makes a connection. Two places, here and there. Okay? And both the Gemara is consistent. That was the cause of killing Vashti. Okay, so what's the connection? So, yeah, I mean, I would just... It's difficult. It's very obscure. I mean, Gemara doesn't really help you too much. But why was Achashverosh so interested in the Kli Beis Hamikdash? What do you think about the Beis Hamikdash? What's his concern?
The wall wasn't to be built.
So what if the Beis Hamikdash is built? Is worried about this, if the Hamikdash is built, it's not going to have Malchus anymore?
No.
I mean, what is he worried
about? The
Hamikdash was built, and there are other Malachim in the world continued. I mean, what was he worried about? What was he concerned about?
Representation of reality.
That what?
Representation of reality.
There's a Jewish God. If there's a Jewish God, a real reality beyond all realities, then they would be back in 70 years. But when it wasn't built after 70 years, it meant to say that their nebuah and their religion was not true, which means that was a religion in a sense, which was a true religion. But if it wasn't true, then he could be like a God.
But he didn't make himself to a God. It doesn't say, it says Haman, not a Hashverosh. So it would seem by him it was something else. It meant that the existence of the Migdash was a certain restraining, had a certain restraining element on the extent of this title. Okay? On the extent of this title. It was a restraining element. The fact that the Migdash exists, and that's true. The Migdash really, the fact that the Migdash, when the Migdash existed, it had an effect on the entire world. So the existence of the Migdash was a restraining element on his own pursuit of title, and that's why Chazal said it was Bishnas Shalosh, 3 years. Why do you wait for the third year? Usually make a part of the first year. So the answer is because he was waiting for that. So when once he saw that it's not going to happen, he said, now Ozav Hashem es Haaretz, and that's it. Now he's free. It gave him a sense of freedom. It's an interesting thing.
But other religions are okay.
What?
Other religions are okay.
He didn't look like he wasn't the most religious person.
No, but Meve Eskim Sheva, the other 126.
No, no bother. That's right. He wasn't still scared. This was the thing that bothered him. This bothered him. Yeah. So.
Is there any way to point to like what elements of Mikdash really restrain this?
What's that?
Is there any like particular idea in Mikdash that really restrains this taivas?
I mean, what it is about Mikdash?
Yeah.
It's the reality of Mikdash. It affects people. The reality of Mikdash is that that everybody had a sense that there is a Melech HaOlam. They may not want to think about it all the time, but it was an effect in the entire world. See, Chazal say that we psychologically are not the same as the psychologically not the same. Mar says Hanos Bia, Midlanos Bia. It affects everybody. So psychologically, in psychological ways. So the existence of the Migdash affected the entire world, and Achashverosh was affected. It had a restraining character to it. And the moment he was waiting to be free, he wanted, that was his emotion, to be free from the restraints of Yahadis. That was his the idea of the restraints. That really was a battle cry of the youth in the 60s and the 70s, was I want to be free. That was basically the emotions are always the same. So that is that emotion, an illusion that you'll be free if you can get away from this phenomenon. And if Ozav Hashem is Haaretz, then we're free. So he was mishtamish with the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. That was the symbol. That's why was that, because he wanted, what he did was the kelim based media, was the simcha was that now these kelim are just ordinary kelim. So that exemplified that the whole simcha was symbolized by that thing, that now the kelim based media have no division, so they're not going to be used anymore. So that was really Achashverosh. So that's what Chazal said, that once he reached that degree of freedom, so then he started to go further into his craziness, until he made an irrational demand because of the supremacy of his own pleasures and his own nishta and his own self glorification in the nishta. And once he overstepped the rational bounds, he reached a point where he made a stupid decision, and he that was the end of the Mishnah, basically. The whole Mishnah wasn't worth it after that. That was it, gone. So that's the lingua. So apparently what Chazal is saying is that it's true, the theme of Achashverosh, and we paskin that way, that that's the theme of the Megillah. But it's interesting. Chazal is saying, why is that the theme? because there's a very important idea to be derived through Torah Shabbat Peh from that. And that is that a person should be cognizant of that emotion of freedom. And where that emotion of freedom leads a person. So that's the limit. That's the limit from Ahasuerus. So that's Rav Huna saying. And why is the theme Ahasuerus? Because of that limit. Because of that limit. See, why is the theme Haman? Because of the limud. Why the theme Mordechai? And why is the theme the Nace? The theme of the Nace is because it's interesting. A good question, yes. That on the fourth theme, the theme of the Nace. So say because of Esther.
Because she invited Mordechai. She invited Haman.
What?
She invited Haman.
That she used her chacham. That's an amazing thing. So the question is, the theme of chacham. Theme of chacham. Shazim Nolam. Theme of chacham. Yeah, so what's... Interesting. So what are the four themes? How do you put the four themes together? That's the question. Well, the Gemara says Marot. There's four Marot. So what are the four?
Sorry, by Esther, can you say that the point is that even where there's Hashkafa, even there you say there's a certain preservation, Hashkafa Tam Yisrael, you don't just rely on things
that
happen.
That's
the person has to... create every possible situation.
There was no reliance on it.
Right.
No reliance. Ain't some kind of reliance. But the person, even under the most adverse situation, is mechuyev not to recoil and be mispalel. Of course, that's mispalel, but to rely on that alone, but they must move and employ chacham. That's correct. That's the limit of Esther.
That's how Ashkach operates.
That's how Ashkach operates. That's the limit. That's what Chazal is saying. That's the limit. The limit is that she used her chachma, and she was the one that caused the whole mess. Yeah, that's what I want to say. So that's the limit. A person must always view the situation in a way where they exercise the greatest amount of chachma. Yeah, the tefillah is important, and bechi, and 3 days, tzom, but to rely on that alone is wrong. The individual must engage in. That's the chiyah for man. So that's that limud, and then the other limud is the limud of man's egomania, that's Haman, and the limud of Mordechai, which is the opposite, the total ability to recognize and uproot every tendency, every bit of energy that's directed to recognize the kofar b'avodah zarah. So that's Mordechai. And Ahasuerus is interesting. Ahasuerus is that a person has to be able to go beyond that infantile state where he thinks, if I didn't have the Torah, I'd be free. That's Zacharnas Adoga Shacharnas Raim Chinam. Chinam and Amitzvahs. So that illusion. That illusion is interesting. Those are the four. Those are the four.
How do you start, what's the issue, what are all
good points, together really comprises the whole the essential ideas of the whole system of Yadis.
Right.
Okay, the correct approach, that's Esther. Mordechai, the real perfection of knowledge in terms of Kofar B'Avodah Zarah. And the Mordechai of Hashem, all that's highest level, and one is action and one is mechachah. And on the other side, you have the most evil, and then you have an evil which is not the essence of evil, but it is a trap where the individual will live an empty life, a waste of life, but because of
self-defeating one.
Yeah, self-defeating, yeah. That's good. Yeah, so what's your question?
So how do you, like, I guess maybe halakhically even, but or philosophically, what's the machlokas, though, between the four tonight? What's the issue?
I think the machlokas in the four tonight is which is necessary. They're all necessary.
Yeah, right. They're all essential ideas. How do you pick one idea?
So essential?
Why?
Why is he so essential? The other one sounds more essential.
I mean, Achashverosh?
He doesn't really sound essential.
You can see why Achashverosh is really the first step. That's the first step. In other words, that's the first step to Tzchei. The person has that misconception. So that's why that's last. That one's easy to see why it's last. But then you have what? The machlokes is, well, the Nes, everybody agrees. That's Esther.
And the Haman and Mordechai just logically within themselves.
And the Haman is next because of... That's correct. I say Haman is next because of... that's really Sur Mara. Sur Mara comes first. And then you have Mordechai, and that makes sense. That the lesson of the Sur Mara is more significant. It's primary. I shouldn't say more. It's primary. Sur Mara say tov. So that's primary. You have to understand Ra, and then the person can be also tov. Sur Mara say tov.
And then we go back to other.
Then Achashverosh is a qualitatively different type of Ra. There is the essence of Ra. The essence of Ra is really Haman. And then there's the Sur Mara, which is Mordechai, the uprooting of the Ra, of the evil. And then there is a peripheral, a different kind of evil, which, I mean, it doesn't mean you can't make light of it, but it's a different category.
But in the field itself, it's up. Meaning, first we have the Asif of Mordechai, then we have
Haman. Meaning the Kriya?
Yeah.
Become a Yehudi, right?
The next code is...
I mean, one mandamah holds from Yehudi. Well, the mandamah, let's figure it out. The mandamah holds from... One mandamah holds from Balaylalu. And then the next one, what's next one?
Achod from Elachor.
What?
Achod from Elachor.
Is Haman.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's next.
Right.
So you're right.
But that's the order of the quotients. I'm saying in the Megillah, they all go that way, from the end of the Megillah to the beginning.
No, I don't mean the Gemara. I mean in the Kriyas.
In the Kriya, Achod from Elachor.
Achod from Elachor.
Achod from Elachor is after Mordechai.
Yeah.
And after that is Balai Lahu.
Which is first is Achashverosh. The second one is the Megillah. The highest level chiyuv, okay? So that's the highest level chiyuv. So that's
backwards.
Next.
You're working backwards. The first one, the nace, is the furthest part into the Megillah.
That's correct. That's the least.
It's the most.
So each one, the nace is the most.
You're going to read the most if you read the least.
No, it's the most important.
Yeah, but you're going to read the least.
Read the least.
Yeah. So you're gonna read and that's the most that everybody agrees. So it goes in order.
Why is it just because of the order of the story? When you read the Megillah, you go from Mordechai to Haman. That's what I'm asking.
When you read the Megillah,
Mordechai to Haman. It's just exactly the story.
What you're saying is more inclusive. Each step
is more inclusive. That's what I'm saying. So the first mandama holds that you only need the essence of the nace.
Right.
Okay.
Then you have Haman.
And the limud of the proper derech chayim, that's clear, and that you need because kiddush Hashem, and then the next step is Haman, is that that's the next mandama. He goes, nope. Besides that, you have to have Haman, the recognition of the Kofa Bazar, and then the next one is that that's already more. more advanced now, is that to be to recognize the chacham, that's makir, that's mordechai, and that ends that area, that type of that qualitatively ends that area, and then the next thing is achashverosh, which is a differentiated kind of situation, kind of height. Different kind of
thing. Isn't it related, really? Because isn't it that type of thing, like Ahasuerus' condition, where he has to elevate himself, that ultimately then.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a different kind of self elevation. He was proud of the fact that he conquered the world of Tyre. That's a different kind of thing.
Maybe,
he didn't make himself into a. It was. Ahasuerush was not. See, the difference between Ahasuerush and Haman was that Haman was an ideological corruption. And Ahasuerush was a personal corruption. I mean, but it wasn't an ideology. It was just he was happy to demonstrate that he conquered the world. Conquer the world with Tyre. Yes.
Is it like why Ahasuerush has to come first? And like, so the Ram says, like a prerequisite for like all perfection is like the removal from the taivas. Like it's not even like it's just like before a person can be engaged in like Mordechai and the Chachma, you have to remove the energies from like the fantasies of the taivas.
Yeah, but the worst taivas.
The worst is really home. But you know, the Shita just holds that true. Ahasuerush is not really the ultimate evil. But as a limud, it's a necessary prerequisite as a limud for the following essential limudim of like Esther, Mordechai, and Haman that follow. It's like the real evil is going to be Haman, but it's something. It's still necessary first to understand to remove yourself from the evil Ahasuerush in terms of the Derech HaChaim, like the steps you take.
Well, when he's saying a first, I mean, yeah, but there are a lot of firsts. I mean, if a person is under the sway of Avodah Zarah, that's first. He has to remove himself from that first. Because if he doesn't have that, he has no will. He has nothing.
No, but chronologically, what's the
evil? Yeah, the steps of a person takes in life.
Chronologically, first you come to this.
Yeah, so what are you trying to answer? What are you trying to explain?
I'm saying, like, the Shittu holds that Ahasuerush is saying, true, the ultimate evil is Haman. In terms of, like, McGill's teaching a person, Derech HaChaim, like, there's a certain order.
Yeah, but there's no question why he holds it. That's the question is what, I mean, the question is, what was the mitzvah's kriya? I mean, that's the question. How far did the mitzvah go? Did they go and be Mechayvi in terms of the mitzvah? It's a separate question. I don't know if I'm not sure. I don't know if then it becomes conjecture. Can identify what it is, and you can say how far each Tana holds you have to go, but I don't know if you can go beyond that. You can't. I mean, that's conjecture.
Well, can you say then that what he was saying was that the story of Kandil, this is like some background knowledge you need to know?
What's that?
The Ahasuerush? For the nation, you need to know these steps? Because everyone has a Pudus Manisa.
Yeah.
But that each Tana holds there's another step in the background knowledge you need to know.
That's correct.
And that each of them is part of what allows the Manisa to take place.
That's correct. Right.
So what...
I mean, in terms of the.
So, I mean, because what are they? Because we're talking about in the mitzvah of Mikus Megillah, yeah. Which is Mikus Megillah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but the Gemara is saying over here that each one is a limud. And the Machayev, that's what I said. That's what I said last time. It's not a question. It's not a question. You want to say background from the first mandama. But according to this mandama, it's the limud of Torah Shabbal Peh. That's the Machayev. And these are the four limud. And that's what determines the machayev. The theme is determined by the limud of Torah Shabbat. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what everyone is saying. Rechen is a different. Rechen, you can say it's the backdrop. Ahasuerush is the backdrop. It was the Torah Shabbat Chsav. But according to Rechen, it's Torah Shabbat Peres machayev, and it's these specific limud.
So how would it would no longer be Ahasuerush is necessary in and of himself, not his background.
That's correct.
So, what
about Rav
Yochanan? What would he hold on
Haman and Mordechai? Rav Yochanan,
no, because Rav Yochanan
holds... Why would you say each token then? No, that's the thing, because the theme, there are four themes that everybody agrees. Because he's saying there's a theme of the Nais, and then there's a theme of that which the Nais was about, which was Haman. And then there's a theme of, then there's an extended theme of Mordechai, who was the one that was that caused Klal Yisrael to be Zocha to the ruler, and then there's Ahasuerush, the backdrop, and that's different than these four are specifically. It's different. It's not a machlekes about the Lamudim. The question is, what was the Machayev in Kriyas Megillah? Was it Torah Shabbachsav or Torah Shabbatah? That's what the machlekes.
Which ksav? which section of this?
Yes.
Which
Shabbat? That's good. And we also, when you say the Torah, like, I think it's broken up into themes, like Napsuk, like it's
yes.
very touch of side broken into Pesukim.
That's the first, going to be.
Right, so we're just wondering, like the Megillah has Pesukim, obviously, also has Pesukim, and Torah Shalav, the rest of Torah Shalav has Pesukim also. But, like, you find the phenomenon of, like, the Parshios in the Torah. Which like it seems like that's like a further like breaking up of the Torah Shabbat.
So what does that do with this?
So why is that on the themes of Megillah different than like the Parshas and when you say like it's a separate entity of Torah Shabbat?
It's a separate entity because you never have Torah Shabbat broken up into things.
The Parshas and Torah are different than the themes.
That's not
this is not broken up by Parshas. It's different. It's different. Doesn't mean I'm not saying there's no other units. But I'm saying that there is nothing in Torah Shabbat that has a unit of themes except the Sefer. That's it. Okay. Leave it alone. Yeah. What? Sorry, it's a Dibris. There's a lot of things. It's a big Torah. There's a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.